This meeting is now being recorded.
So, welcome to the Ready for Takeoff, 10 Critical Elements of a Powerful Launch. My name is Jennifer LeBlanc, and I am the CEO and founder of Think in Bulk Marketing. So, first thing I want to do with the folks on the call today is a little survey. So you can just answer this in the chat window. I just wanted to know how many of you are using the content we're going to go over today for a specific launch project. Is there something that you're working on, or you're working on for a client, or are you coming today for generalized learning? So just let me know whether specific launch project or generalized learning that will help me. I'll give you guys a minute to answer that. Okay, so we're split right down the middle. Okay, so I will try to do both. What I will say for those of you who are doing it for generalized learning, this is an interactive presentation, so try to, as I'm going through it, just imagine one. I don't care whether one you've worked on in the past or, you know, some one you make up on the spot in your mind. Just feel free to kind of think about that as you're going through and ranking and rating the launch process. So, in terms of our agenda today, we're going to go through the launch readiness assessment and what that is and why we created that here at Think Results. And then we'll go through the 10 critical launch elements themselves, and we will be looking at each one in detail. I'm only going through a couple of examples of just one, I think three of them, simply because we only have an hour. And when we do a longer workshop, we go through all 10, but we have to summarize things today. I picked the more fun things, the visual items. And then from that, we'll come up with a launch assessment score. And then we'll talk about how you use that to develop the launch action plan, the assessment itself. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about a workshop I'm doing on April 23rd with Kathy Cloak's guest of Women Consulting. And it's going to be a more detailed version of this and hands-on workshop type version versus a quick overview. So first, a little bit about Think Results Marketing, in case you don't know who we are. We are a full-service marketing agency, and we deliver results. It's in our name. It's in our tagline. It's in our blood. It's what we do. We work with companies of all sizes, whether they're small startups to global companies, to help them make millions of dollars through smarter marketing and better launches. And that's where the launch assessment process came into being. So I've been doing this myself for about 20 years, working on launches with companies of all sizes, left corporate to start Think Results Marketing, and been doing this for now 11 years. And a couple of years ago, I worked with Jen Berkley Jackson of Inside Advantage, and we did some research with companies across the globe to really ask them questions about their launch process to find out a couple of things. One, was our experience of the launch process, was that typical other companies and other marketers, or was it different? And, you know, were there things that we should consider that we hadn't been considering in our launch process? So what we found, this is a very high-level infographic, and there's a blog, and there's a webinar we did on the results, the full survey results on our website. But what we found was very typical results. So the results that people had achieved were 50% of those we surveyed found their company name was better known. Obviously, that's kind of a reason to do a launch. And 46% had acquired new customers. And then a nice even split right down the middle, 21-21, of existing customers buying new products or existing customers buying more existing, already existing products. So very typical results there.
All guests have been muted.
Sorry, I mentioned that earlier. And then the other part I wanted to draw your attention to is right here, the 1 to 3 months and the 3 to 6 months. So we asked folks how long was their average launch, and it was 1 to 3 months, again, completely consistent with our experience. And then we asked them how long do they think the ideal launch process has been, and they said 3 to 6 months, again, completely consistent with our experience. So we thought that was kind of funny. So, like I said, there's a blog post that goes through this in some detail, and then there's a full hour-long webinar that goes through all of the results if you're interested in that research. So the Think Results Launch Readiness Assessment, that's really what these 10 critical launch elements are. And really what this is about is taking apart the process that, frankly, I go through very quickly when I work with a client, when I first am working with them and trying to assess how launch ready are they, what do they need to do to be ready. So breaking that down into a more, into 10 elements, so it's easier to digest set up assessments versus me just coming in and giving them an assessment. And it really, it's taking all of our expertise around launch readiness, launch assessment, our experience with gobs and gobs and gobs of launches over the years, and taking that into something that people can actually use and as a tool they can use for themselves. And it really helps people to focus on where are they going to put their marketing dollars most effectively and what activities they need to do to get maximum impact. And as I said, that the output, which we're going to work on today, will be a prioritized action, launch action list. And when I do this assessment for clients, I'm doing this as a live report after I've gone through and talked with their key stakeholders, I've done a product review, read all their background documents, et cetera. And another reason that we focus on launches and have started this assessment service is that launches in general can be overwhelming for people. A significant launch is a lot of work. It's not kind of your everyday launch, your everyday marketing experience. And so the launch process can be fraught with a lot of fear and worry for because there's a lot of unknowns during launch. So we try to break it down and make it much more manageable. And frankly, we try to make it fun for everyone because it's about, you know, making a big splash in the marketplace. So it should be fun, I think. So we're going to get into the 10 critical launch elements. So as you're listening to me, I want you to think about the project that you're working on or one that you'd like to use as your sample project. And as we go through each one of these 10 elements, I want you to just write down on a scale of 1 to 10, based on the criteria we're going to talk about, where your project is. So 1 would be totally not ready. 10 is completely ready. And somewhere in between. And, you know, it's an art thing. It's a sort of guesstimate. Are they kind of ready? Are they super ready? Are they in the middle of the road ready? Based on some of the criteria we'll talk about. If that's not clear, send me a chat to the everyone window in the slide there. Okay, so the first item, most obviously, the product or the service. Let me skip on and talk about product. You know, when I'm looking at whether or not a product is launch ready, is it fully functional? Now, I realize in Silicon Valley sometimes it doesn't even exist at the time we get in there. So, you know, we have to kind of figure that out a little bit and work with that a bit. But is it fully functional? Is it easy to use? Does it have good UI? Very important these days. This is not something that you can just say, well, it's a great product, but nobody can figure out how to use it. It has to have good UI. And then you'd be amazed, but are the legal clearances handled, and is the IP covered in terms of do they have freedom to operate with this product? It's happened more times than I would like to talk about that we get partway through the launch process and something like this comes up, and this will put us behind by 6 months to a year. So definitely something I always ask up front. Are there any legal issues associated with this product? Do you have all of the IP necessary to use this product in the market? Or are there IP issues that we need to know about and things we need to pull in legal team to handle to make sure that we are clear to actually market the product? So for your particular launch project or your imaginary launch product, is it, you know, on the scale of 1, not very ready at all, or is it 10, is it very ready? Just write that number down. And then number 2, the team. This is very important. Do you have the right team members, and are they in the right role? Very often when you're working, especially with a startup, you may have great team members, but there may be significant gaps in terms of what it takes to make a product is not the same team it takes to market a product and get it to market. So there may be significant holes in that team member. And do they have the right experience, et cetera? So you may need to make some judgments on the team members, in terms of their experiences, their skills, et cetera. And are they prepared to speak as a unified front to the outside world? Again, this is not always something that has commonly happened, especially in a startup, and even for larger companies. And they may be prepared to speak, but may not necessarily be prepared to speak as a unified front. And media training is often required to get people ready for a full-on launch. And again, you know, I see your comment, in a smaller company, this isn't necessarily applicable for a smaller company. We can work with bigger companies. However, think about it in terms of the skills. Do you have the right skills on the team in order to develop and get that product to market? So again, mark that as a 1 to 10. So 1 is not very ready, 10 is completely ready. Number 3, the name. Again, very basic, but it's hit all these things. Is it memorable? After someone has said that to me, can I remember it? Is it easy to say and spell? Is it positive or at least neutral in its connotations? And has it been tested in the major languages or markets in which you plan to sell? I'm going to give you a short example of that. So rank yours on a 1 to 10. But so this is a short example. This particular name, the Protextile name, it's a medical textiles company, and they create textiles that have antibacterial product embedded, well, antibacterial agent embedded in the textile, so it helps to reduce infections, et cetera, particularly in the hospital setting. Fabulous technology. Great name. Protextile's fabulous name. Great logo. However, and this is, you know, this happened to Protextile, but I've heard this story so many times. So the founder came up with the name, and like a napkin, they were having beer, and off they went. Several years later, when it comes time to actually get the product to market, they realize that somebody else already had that name. So obviously they have to change it because then they get a cease and desist order, you know, it's just nasty. So they needed to change their name. But as I said, great logo, and loved the color. So we ended up keeping the Codasil, a little, it's kind of like a little Codasil, the needle and thread, and we kept the same colors because those colors worked well in their environment. So number 4, the positioning. So in terms of the positioning, is it clearly defined? Is it differentiated? And does it resonate with the persona? Do you know who the personas are? There may be more than one persona. At least make sure that your main persona is clearly defined, differentiated, and resonates. Excuse me, for that main persona. If you have more than one persona that you're targeting, then you may need to have different positioning for those different personas. So mark your product, your launch project as 1 to 10. Again, 1 is not very ready at all, and 10 is super ready in terms of positioning. And I will say that for the workshop that we're doing on the 23rd, Kathy's going to spend a significant period of time just working on the positioning, because it's really critical to make sure you get this right for your project. So we'll do that in more detail in the actual launch workshop we're doing on the 23rd. Okay, number 5, element number 5, the logo. So this one, very critical. You know, it's a central element. This is something that you see all the time, like the name. So is it clean? Is it simple? Is it usable at all sizes? And does it reflect the brand home as well? So the clean and simple, I think, is pretty straightforward. The usable at all sizes is like my particular knit. Very commonly, especially with, you know, smaller startups, the logo has been designed to work on a business card, which is the easiest way to design a logo. Almost all logos will work in a business card format. However, we need to make sure that logo, as a marketing team, will actually work down to 16 by 16 pixels, which is the size of the favicon, which is a little tiny little square that sits to the left of your URL in your browser bar. So that's pretty small. It's about the size of a pencil head, 16 by 16 pixels, up to can we make that logo go as big as a billboard and still have it be functional and work well. And often, you know, we have lower res, we can't make them bigger, they're too complicated, we can't make them 16 by 16. So that's kind of our task is, you know, how does that logo look when we stretch it to different sizes? And then does it reflect the brand promise well? One of the things that I'm also looking for is sort of the nirvana of a logo development is, does it tell a story? It doesn't need to be a story that everyone can figure out, but it needs to be a story that the executive team can talk about. That's the ideal new logo. Not always possible, but at least make sure it's clean, it's simple, it should have no more than three elements in it, and it's usable at all times. So here's an example. This particular example, it had passed many of those tests. Unfortunately, it did not pass the brand promise test. So it's the first one on the left here. This is the old logo. Fairly clean, fairly simple. We did lose some of this fine detailing when we made it small, of course. But otherwise, pretty clean, pretty simple. This is a little E, this is an A, so it kind of had a little story. Great, except that this particular company, Enact, is an energy management company. It's a platform for assessing home improvement projects to figure out which ones are going to deliver you the most energy savings for the least input. But they wanted to obviously go out to consumers, and this particular logo does not say consumer. This is definitely a B2B with the colors, the hard edges. It's very much a strong logo, but it's a B2B logo. So they needed us to redesign that to make it into a more consumer-friendly, open, engaging, friendly logo, which is what we designed here. It has the sun, it has sky, it has, you know, up and to the right, almost like a little butterfly, but we didn't want to go too far with the butterfly. It's got the green grass. You know, all of those things are going on there. So much more consumer-oriented and telling that brand promise to consumers in a much stronger way than the prior logo, which was very B2B, very buttoned up. So think about the logo that you have for your project. Again, is it on the scale of 1 to 10, and 1 being it's horrid, this is not horrid, but is it horrid, or is it, you know, fantastic and it tells the brand promise well and it's clean and it's simple, all of those things. Where does it sit on that, in that range? Okay, element number 6, the sales strategy. So is there a defined process for sales? Do you have a process for leads? So marketing, when it turns on the tap, we need to be sure that there's someone on the other end of that pipe to catch those leads and manage those leads, respond to them, handle them, and close the sale. Do they have consistent materials to do that? Is there sales tools and training in place? For much larger organizations, we definitely need to have sales tools for everyone, but certainly training for larger organizations. So think about that for your project. Where are they on the sales strategy, and are they really ready to receive the leads that you're going to be producing from the marketing? Comes out of the launch. Number 7, the website. Is it developed? I know that seems like an obvious question, but I mean developed in the sense of, is it developed like more recently than 1985? So some of the websites that we work on, when we first hit them, it's like, wow, they haven't been touched in 10 years. Yeah, they're developed, but really, there's not much that's usable there. So is it developed? Where are they in that process of the website development? Do they have the actual name as a URL? Oh, my God. This morning, I was driving my kid to school. I see this all the time with construction companies. They're the worst. But this particular company was like MonikaiDeconCompany.com, something like that. And, you know, it's like it needs to be a real name. Like if there are deconstruction companies, so Monikai Deconstruction or Monikai Decon even. But when you get kind of a collection of short forms and names, people can't remember. It's way too confusing. The URL, the actual name, is very important. People will not remember some collection of short forms and acronyms. They're just not going to remember that. And they have a domain strategy. So what I mean by this is not only do you own your .com, you need to own your .net. You may need to, you know, pull over the .org. You need to pull over various versions of your name, product names need to be owned as domains, and have those all redirect to your main domain. And the reason for this is you do not want someone else to be owning your company.net because that will cause confusion in the marketplace. Not always possible to own them all, but you know, it's cheap to own domains, and it's a fantastic defensive strategy against competitors. And then, does your website tell the brand story well? Usually, that kind of goes along with was it developed, you know, more recently than 1985 or even 1995. So a quick example here, this particular, this is one of our pro bono clients. We do all their marketing for free, Operation Freedom Cause. They came to us in the summer of 2012 because their executive director, Mary Cortani, was selected as a CNN hero that year. And in September, they were opening up, they had chosen their top 10, and in September, they were opening up their top 10 list to the public for voting. So I'm not showing their previous website because it was very challenging. It had been designed in QuickBooks, some kind of website builder thing in QuickBooks, very restrictive. And we had, our original quest had been to help them rework it, and it wasn't possible to throw it out. So in terms of this particular website, it tells you very quickly it's about dogs. That's very clear. You get a sense it has something to do with patriotism or Americans. And just as background, they match up shelter dogs and rescue dogs with Iraqi and Afghanistan vets who have PTS and other folks who have disabilities or need a service dog. So that's very clearly, before you even read anything, you can sort of figure out there's some connection to dogs and probably vets, maybe something patriotic. They have an active Facebook presence, so that's prominent on their homepage. There's a couple of videos. This one is about their mission, and this one down here is a fantastic video that CNN did about what it'd be like to be inside the mind of someone with PTS and how subtle sounds that we take for granted can remind them of other sounds they put in different contexts. So great story here. So in terms of the website, this is developed, we had all the domains that we needed, and we redirected all of those. She had some associated training domains from her prior business before she started the nonprofit. We redirected those to here and, telling the brand story in a complete way. So, number 8, the content. So, in terms of the content that you have for this particular project, do you have a good mix of content types? Do you have video, infographics, white papers for B2B environments? Do you have case studies? Do you have, good social media content, blog postings? There's a good mix of all of those different content types, and they are addressing all points in the sales cycle. So, do you have content addresses someone who's just beginning to think about this kind of solution? Checklists, comparatives, evaluations. And then for those that are more seriously considering a solution, do you have things like technical briefings, white papers? They get into more detail, case studies, so they can see, have you done work like this or something else before? And then is that content engaging? Is it interesting? Which typically these days, frankly, means is it visual? At least if it's a white paper, is it visually appealing in how it's designed? And do you have good content delivery strategy and channel? Very important. So again, for your project on a scale of 1 to 10, is the content at a 1, kind of like non-existent, or is it at a 10? 10 being, in fantastic shape. So number 9, this is just for you, Lisa Strand, the social world. Do you have developed channels? Again, this isn't always the case. When clients first come to us, they don't necessarily have a Twitter presence set up yet. They don't have a Facebook strategy or a channel set up. Do they have a content strategy for filling that? And an engagement strategy? What's the difference between how they're going to work with their community on Facebook versus how they're going to work with their community on Twitter or LinkedIn or Pinterest or whatever other appropriate social channels there may be, which is different from client to client. And most importantly, social media is not free. Do they have resources to maintain these channels? If you're not going to be maintaining the channel, don't open it. So very important that they have resources to maintain the channel. So again, look at your project and one being don't have any social media developers, I do not recommend. To 10, do they have them? Are they well developed? Do they have an engagement strategy? Do they have resources to maintain those channels? All these things will need to be addressed through the launch process. And number 10, most importantly, last but not least, the funding. Do they have funding that is appropriate, available, and sufficient? If you don't have appropriate, available, and sufficient funding, you will not have a successful and profitable launch. The entire purpose of doing a launch is to make money. But you have to invest money to make money. So, very important. So on your project, from scale of 1 to 10, is the funding appropriate, available, and sufficient? I would say for the vast majority of companies, this needs to be 5 to 10% of their revenue on a launch. A launch of a big project needs a lot of money to make it work well. Okay, so now you should have 10 numbers out of 10. And I'll let you guys take a minute, you can sum it up, and then you get a certain percentage. So for clients I recently did this for, the sum ended up being 52%. It could be 35%, it could be 74%. Unlikely to be higher than, you know, 60 or 70% if you're doing this kind of assessment, because otherwise they wouldn't be doing an assessment. Plus I'm a hard marker. So I'll give you guys a few minutes to sum that up. But like I said, you should get a number out of 100. So from that, you should also, you can tell for the areas where you have, I'm seeing some numbers here on the side, so areas where you have a 1, that obviously needs a lot of work. Areas where you have a 5, well, that might not be so much work, but it still has a fair amount of work. Areas where you have a 9 is in pretty good shape. I wouldn't spend too much time on something that's an 8 or a 9. So prioritize your efforts based on those 10 areas and which ones were the weakest to shore those out so you're most ready for launch. The other way to look at that list is absolutely take care of the easy ones first. There may be one that's a 1, but it's a really hard one that takes more time and work to handle. It's not that you're not going to do it, but just for the sake of getting some momentum going, pick the one that's a 5. If it's an easy one, then get that handled and get that up to an 8 or 9. And like I said earlier, give yourself adequate time and budget to get this done. Most launch projects will take 3 to 6 months. So make sure that's what you're thinking of. It can be done faster. We've done them in as little as 2 weeks. Definitely can be done faster, but for most launch projects, plan on 3 to 6 months from the time you get started until the time you actually launch out to the market. So, if you have more questions or you want to work with, like I said, Kathy Klopp, both guests and I are doing a workshop on April 23rd at that PGA Superstore here in East Palo Alto, just across from Olympia. We'd love to have you there. We have breakfast in the morning, and then we have individual worksheets and we'll be working with you directly to answer questions and really get your launch plan specifically handled. And as I said, Kathy is doing a specific segment of the workshop will be just on positioning. So you'll have some good solid time, which is a great process for developing positioning. So we will have that as part of the workshop. And then, because we're at the PGA Superstore, they have given us one of their golf pros, and they'll do a little putting contest afterwards with prizes. Kind of a fun addition for us. And like I said, it's at the PGA Superstore, and it's $175 regularly, but if you register before March 31st, it's $155. So we'll go into the whole 10 elements in much more detail there, and like I said, much more personalized attention, work on your specific launch plan. So with that, all of my various contact methods, I will say the best way to reach me is my cell phone or via email, but you can also join me with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. We have all those channels open. And I will turn off the recording and open it up for questions. Thank you.